Welcome back, friends. So we're setting up, so we've set up in the last episode, our show is Prophets and Devotions, and we're tracking as quick as we can to get to the seven sorrows of Mary's rosary, or some people will call it a chaplet, but rosary is as common as the other. And so let us now take up prophets. In a general sense. And I have found this book. I'm Sending You Prophets by Father Edward O'Connor to be a really nice overview of the office of prophet within salvation history. He goes scriptural, Old Testament, New Testament, Gospels, New Testament, the prophets through the ages, those that have been approved by Holy Mother Church, and he avoids the more nettlesome ones that we have in our day and time, such as Medjugorje. He brackets that. He mentions it, but he does it is in not in the same category as, let's say, a Saint Bridget, which we're getting to, or a Saint Dominic, or of course, Fatima. So I will be leaning into that book quite a bit. So to Dominic, it's difficult to know what is legend and how much is factual truth. So there he is. He's an unblinking scholar on this. The stories were handed down by word of mouth. Church, regardless of that fact, accepted it into its prayer life practices and recommended through an apparition. So the very fact that the church picks this up and promotes it so heavily is an implicit approval to the story of the apparition without coming out one way or another. Okay. So the church has enthusiastically embraced the rosary, whether it could ascertain historical accuracy, and enthusiastically embraced is exactly what Holy Mother Church has done. So in summary, Saint Dominic, he lived from 1170 to 1221, was laboring against the Albigensian, a heresy of a type of dualism of an opposition between good and bad in the south of France without much success. The Blessed Virgin Mary appears to Dominic, taught him the rosary, and thenceforth great numbers of conversions followed. Popes through the ages have accepted this account. Pope Leo XIII characterized the rosary as the devotion that the Mother of God taught to the patriarch Saint Dominic in order that he might propagate it. And we recall a basic definition of prophet, but it's a good one, is that someone is picked, so we don't go out looking for it. The Lord freely chooses, and he gives a message for that person to give to others. Sometimes it was prophetic actions, sometimes prophetic deeds. Dominic's case here with the rosary, Our Lady hands it to him. He's to teach others. And that was the message, right? Here's the rosary, teach others. And then the fruit, the confirmation that that's true, was the conversions and the deepening of prayer life through the centuries of people.
Yeah. So he, you said late 1100s to early 1200s. So was he actually contemporary with, is he and Francis of Assisi, are they actual temporal contemporaries?
I think so. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. The Dominicans and the Franciscans. Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Now there are different types of rosaries. So that's right. There are several types of rosaries, including the traditional Dominican rosary with 59 beads. But there's also a Franciscan crown. So here we come with our Franciscans, which have seven decades. And Some could consider the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, which is a more recent 20th century edition, in that same grouping. Each type varies in structure, number of beads, and the specific prayers associated with them. And I have a link in my footnotes provided for further study on any of those various prayer forms. And we take a note, the church has encouraged these different prayer forms for different groups of people.
Right. I mean, and it's of such long-standing duration that it is almost an innate part of the domestic liturgy, I think, really. This is, because it is comprehensively a meditation on the life of Christ, right, with that meditative prayer, you know, that repetitive meditative prayer that allows us to enter into something, you know, to kind of occupy our mind, to hold it so that we can do something else with it at the same time, right? You know, it's kind of like, you know, tapping your finger or something like that. There is some element to the human person that, you know, if we really give it something that like is the stable underpinning of a thought, right, that just keeps kind of like a rhythm that is going underneath it, it does allow the human mind to engage more deeply in a deeper level of meditation because it takes away other external distractions. Now, the question of can you walk and chew bubblegum at the same time, right? I mean, it's kind of a joke, but the reality is that the human person is capable of like sort of bifurcating their thoughts. And it's very easy to become distracted with a myriad of other things, but that rhythm, that beauty of the repetitive prayers of the Hail Mary do allow one, you know, over time and with practice to deepen their ability to meditate on the matters that have been proposed to us for meditation.
That's correct. That is correct. And it does take some time for the human person to settle their thoughts and for the refreshment our souls need at times. Yes. Okay, friends, let us pick up in the next episode with St. Bridget. Till then, Fides Ratio.